Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We're so happy that you're here to worship with us this morning. We know that you're in for a real blessing. I would ask that visitors and members alike fill out the attendance pads that are at the ends of each row, and we'd like to have a record of your attendance. I ask you now to look at the back of your bulletin where the announcements are. There's several important announcements there. Next Sunday, September 2nd, will be Youth Sunday in the launch service. Garrett Pritchard will be preaching on his experiences in Guatemala at the 8:30 service in here and the launch service at 10:30. The Youth Praise Band will be helping with that service, and the youth will participate in various roles. Also, Terrific Tuesday starts up September 4th. We're starting off with a great program. You'll all want to come at noon in the warehouse for a great meal, and our own Gail Scott will be presenting the program. And I know you won't want to miss it. So look in the bulletin for more details about that. Next, save the date on your calendar for October 14th. Hog on the Hill is back. I know that sounds like it's way off, but you want to get it on your calendar so you're sure to be here. There's one big announcement about Hog on the Hill, and that is that it's going to be a free event this year. So, that can't hurt anything, and they are having food trucks. They're still doing a lot of the things that they've done in the past with Kids Fest, the silent auction, great music and fellowship, and all of these things will benefit Asbury Shared Ministries. So put that on your calendar and be listening for more announcements on that in the future. And lastly, the Faith Family Dinners, an all-time favorite, are back on Wednesdays starting in September. And they will go in conjunction with the Wednesday evening Bible studies. If you want to attend, there is a tear-off at the bottom of your bulletin where you can make a reservation for dinner and look in the bulletin for the menus and the different events that will be happening on Wednesday evenings. And now I will introduce Pastor Mary Hilliard to introduce our special guest today.
The Philander Smith College Choir is truly an Arkansas treasure. It is one of the oldest organized choral groups in the country, established around 1890. Organized by a Methodist missionary. They conduct concerts and singing engagements throughout Arkansas and most of the United States. This talented group of young people are under the direction of composer, arranger, and vocalist Carlos Chapel, a native of Little Rock, Arkansas. Carlos has conducted many ensembles over the course of 15 years. In spring 2016, Carlos was reappointed as assistant professor of music and director of choral activities at Philander Smith College. Teresa Lyons Webb is their accompanist. We are delighted and overjoyed to have you today. I hope you feel it. And I know you anticipate as strongly as I do to hear them sing, but first, we're going to pass the peace of Christ. Let us stand and do that at this time.
Thank you.
please stand and join in the hymn of praise, number 374 in your hymnal, Standing on the Promises. Please remain standing for the blessing of the school year for the ACCDC mission. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we begin this new school year, we give thanks that you have given us the ability to learn many things in many ways. Thanks, we learn in school, learn in church, in our families, and in our communities and the world. We recognize learning is a gift from you, O God, as the Bible teaches us that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. We know that we are designed for the purpose of learning, love, and action. We ask your blessing upon this new school year, that it may be a time when we appreciate and fully use God's gift of learning. We pray, too, that you will bless our schools and teachers, administrators and students, classmates and friends, and school workers in all areas. Thank you for the resources and those who help supply resources when funds are not available for families to provide for their own. May God bless our ACCDC family. Amen.
Thank you. Guys, this morning. Good. Let me ask you something. Who knows how to tell time? Okay, so do you tell time with this? Or do you tell time like that? Which one? Neither? Both? Well, I can't get it to come on. Like that. With the numbers. See them? See the numbers? Or like that? Both. Do you tell both? Okay, well, good job. Let me ask you something. Second question. When you get up every morning, does somebody tell you it's time to get up? You have an alarm clock? Can you really get up with that alarm clock? That doesn't happen at my house. Good for you. But sometimes people tell you to get up. Does your teacher at school tell you it's time to go to lunch? And when you get home at night, does your mom or dad tell you it's time to do your homework? Yes. Unfortunately, right? Well, does it seem to you that all during your day, there's a time to do everything? You know where that came from? In the Bible, God tells us there is a time for everything. There's a time to go to sleep. There's a time to wake up. There's a time to do your homework. Well, it actually doesn't say a time to do your homework, but it does say it's a time to do your work. And it's a time to plant and a time to harvest. So the next time somebody tells you it's time to do something, think about the fact that that all started with God. He told us there's a time to do everything. Do we kind of look to him sometimes about when it's time to do some stuff? Maybe when it's time to come to church and when it's time to pray? Does God lead us in the times that we're to do things? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's pray and ask God to help us to know when the time to do the right things are, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for the beginning of everything. Thank you for telling us and showing us that there is a time for everything in our lives, good times and bad times. Help us and be with us to always know when the time to do the things that you would have us to do, and take care of us each day. In your name we ask. Amen.
Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so very blessed with your presence this morning. We lift our praises and our voices to you on high, and we pray that they are a sweet aroma as they enter your throne room. This week, we have planned our time, ordered our events, our meetings, and lived by an alarm clock to keep our lives at a pace of our own choosing. But Father, we must acknowledge you are the author of time, and you are the ultimate designer and giver of time. Help us to remember at the end of all things, we will no longer need to worry about the events of the day, but we will dwell with you in heaven, a place where there is no sorrow, no tears, and time has no meaning. We will praise you forever, and forever has no end. Lord, we lift up those who are sick and hurting today. Grant them your healing touch and their loved ones peace in knowing that you are the great physician. Watch over all of us and guide our steps every day to arrive at the place you would have us to be. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray to ask God's blessing on our morning offering. Loving Father, we thank you for all of the blessings you bestow upon us every day. Your Holy Spirit dwells within us, and there is no greater blessing than that. May we be a giving, loving church as we return to you a portion of the blessings you have given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come on, sing.
is in this house. Amen. Absolute perfection. Thank you. You are blessed to be a blessing to all of us. Praise God. Thank you. The Word of God is also given to us to be a blessing. May we hear these wonderful words from Ecclesiastes 3. As we hear them, may God breathe in His Spirit, His wisdom, and perhaps even a challenge into your being. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? For I have seen the business that God has given to the sons of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So perhaps you have an app on your phone, or maybe you've seen an article on a regular basis in the paper that says, on this day in history, and you read it just out of curiosity to see what happened on August 26th in whatever year they offer. Well, last month I saw something that piqued my interest. In July 1999, there was a man named Barry Sanders of the Detroit Lions, who shocked the football world with the announcement of his retirement. It shocked the football world because they deemed him to be the greatest running back of all time, and he was only 1,457 yards from breaking the all-time rushing record. Naturally, everyone around the country tried to lure him to please reconsider. I mean, he threw money at him, more TV commercials, agencies drawing in more cash for him. But his answer was this: my desire to return to football is less than my desire to stay in it. And with that, he packed his bag and took a trip to Europe. And so he asked, naturally, why would a man pass up all this homage given to him by fans, all of this great high-profile lifestyle, all of this money, where he'd never, ever have to worry about a thing ever in his life again? It just wasn't for Sanders to pursue the grand American dream. No, for Sanders, it was more about discovering God's almighty vision. Many persons actually feel the same way as Sanders. They don't quite know how to go about it, though, because the world's constantly urging us, go for this and go for that, and you're not successful if you don't do this or do that. Achieve this, achieve that. USA Today did a poll and asked the question, what would you ask God if you could get a direct answer today? And the majority of those who answered the poll gave this response: What's my purpose here? I brought my grandparents' clock. It's an old, old clock. I'm not so sure that it didn't, perhaps on the mantle of the old Asbury Parsonage when my granddaddy was your preacher. I'll show it to you. Y'all are seeing the back. It's not so good. It's leather bound. Very different. It's different, but a lot of people actually will see those in antique shops. But I brought it to remind us that we're such creatures of the clock. I mean, think about it. We get up most times at a certain time. Now, you know, part of your applause has got to be for these young people that got up really early on Sunday morning after probably having an enjoyable Saturday evening. But here they are in their faith and their love for God. But we get up in the morning. We go to work. We do our thing. We get engaged in our activities. And then we come home. We eat. And we go to sleep. And we start right over the next day. And if we look at life in that kind of increments, we will find that we've gotten stuck in a rut. And so we find ourselves like King Solomon asking the age-old question, why am I here? I mean, there's got to be more to life than getting up, going to work or school, eating, going to sleep, and get up and doing it all over again the next day. I mean, we ask, how do we find meaning beyond the monotonous? Well, God has a plan. Hear this word in Psalm 139:16. For thou didst form me, thou didst knit me in my mother's womb. In your book were written the days that were formed for me. This truth has got to be a stabilizing factor in our lives, that before we were even born, God knew us. God made a plan for us. God is waiting to execute that plan in our lives. There's one thing God needs, it's our willingness. Our faithfulness to follow his plan. And when we decide, and it is a decision, to follow God's plan in our lives, then we can weather any storm that comes our way because we have the master involved. Famous storyteller evangelist Max Lucado tells this fable. I like it very much. Once there was a conversation between a canary in a cage and a lark sitting on the windowsill. And the lark began the conversation and asked the canary, "What is your purpose?" The canary answered, "My purpose is to eat seed." And the lark asked, "What for?" And the canary chimed in, "So I can be strong." And the lark asked, "What for?" And the canary said, "So I can sing." And the lark asked again, "What for?" And the canary explained, "Because when I sing, I get more seed." And so the lark was trying to process this. And said, "Now wait a minute, let me get this straight. You eat in order to be strong, so you can sing, so you can get more seed, so you can eat." And the canary said, "Well, yeah." "Well, there is more to you than that," the lark offered. "If you'll follow me, I'll help you find it. But first, you got to leave the cage." Tough to find meaning, my friends, when we're in a caged, locked in, rutted world. We can learn from the lock. It's time for truth to set us free from an empty existence. And second thing that we've found ourselves doing is we're pursuing trivial pursuits. Yeah, in the 80s, Tony and I enjoyed getting with other young couples in the church, and we would kind of piecemeal a meal together, do a little bit of potluck on a Saturday night, and play that old game, Trivial Pursuit. I wasn't very good at it. I sure liked it when Pictionary came along. Man, I can draw. But in seeking God's plan, we often find ourselves pursuing distractions of all kinds, trying desperately to give meaning to our lives. Why I'm an artist. Why I'm a builder. An architect. I mean, we try to find the greatest thing on Pinterest. I'm a decorator. And all those things are wonderful. But they will come up empty when trying to fill our spirits. King Solomon in all his glory tried to find meaning in life as he wrote this beautiful book of Ecclesiastes. And he writes 7 different things that he was pursuing to give him fulfillment. The first one was enlightenment. He wanted to know something. We respect higher learning in our culture. I mean, look what we've got here. It's beautiful. And while higher learning for each and every one of us is important, I mean, with the ACCDC school, we're starting them out right, you know? But there's no way that we can understand that higher learning equals moral integrity. You think about the masterminds of terrorism, for instance. We respect higher learning, but it cannot be equated to moral sense. In fact, some people spend their lives learning, but fail to grasp and apply the truth. Paul even said it this way: some people learn, but are never able to come to knowledge of the truth. Pleasure. King Solomon wanted to enjoy something. The substitute would include the search for happiness in pursuit of a lot of unhealthy pleasures. Our culture is in trouble. And our culture is in trouble because there's a problematic passion to constantly receive pleasure. Thrill me, entertain me, stimulate me. And when we focus on that, we get into some obsessive behaviors and addictions. It's been that way for thousands of years, and King Solomon, were he standing here today, would say the same. Vocation, he wanted to do something. We often find ourselves defined by our work. I mean, when I met with the SBRC the other day, and I was talking about the different things that we do in ministry and our assessments, I finished up, and I found myself getting a little emotional. And I said, I'm going to miss ministry. I will retire in June from something I have done all my life, even as a child. So I could lose my entire identity if I don't allow the Lord to use me again in some way to still minister to people. Do you see it? We are so apart in ourselves of who we are by what we do. Materialism. King Solomon wanted to have something. I'd say he had a grand palace. Although we have more than any other nation in history, we say we want more, and we want more, and we want more. And of course, the accumulation of things never, ever, and you know this, you finally made up enough money to buy that toy or that piece of jewelry or that thing here or over there. And after a while, it's just old. It's old news. Not giving you the thrill that you thought it would. Because it's empty pursuits. It cannot fill your reservoir. The accumulation of things never produces satisfaction or meaning. When asked, how much is enough? What do we say? Oh, there's never enough. That's what we say. There's never enough. You never know when a rainy day, I mean, you're going to need it. Power and fame. He wanted to become something. Solomon recognized that he was great. Did that make him happy or feel complete? No. He whined, "I hate life." He wanted to help someone, Ecclesiastes 4, 1 through 3. Benevolence. For those who reject God, doing good deeds for other human beings somehow makes them feel better. But at that point, you kind of wonder, are they glorifying God? Are they glorifying themselves? And finally, relationships. He wanted to belong to someone, although he was known as the wisest man in the world prior to Jesus Christ. How wise can a man be that has 1,000 wives? Wouldn't there be 1,000 cases of heartache, disappointment, and stress? Hey. Husband's on the third row out there. Solomon's a great example here. He hangs his gray head down, bowed down, and mourns 5 times that all is empty. He's got everything. Status, power, beauty. He tried everything to be fulfilled in life and realized all those pursuits added up to emptiness. God has given us our ultimate purpose. After a life of meaningless disappointments, this all-wise king finally came to understand life's ultimate goal. The purpose of life is twofold. The first is you fear God. You know Him well. No life will ever experience meaning without God. He was not suggesting that suddenly you become religious. He was saying that you do all that you can to know your Maker. To know God on God's terms. A holy God deserves reverence and respect and adoration. In short, he challenges us to have a personal relationship with God through two ways, faith and grace. By faith, we know God. By grace, we are accepted by God. Thanks be to God. And the second thing is keep his commandments. Serve him faithfully. I love how Jesus simplified things for us because I'm simple. I'm basic. I like that. So Jesus took the first 5 commandments about God, and so he just said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he took the second 5 commandments that were all about, well, don't steal and don't covet your neighbor's property and all that. He said, just love your neighbor as yourself. He said, do those two things. If we begin to live by those two commands, we'll begin to experience a sense of meaning and purpose, and the world will see and experience a difference in us. A man once stood before God, his heart breaking from pain and injustice in the world. Dear God, he cried out, look at all the suffering, the anguish and the distress in the world. Why don't you send help? And God responded, I have. I sent you. Finally, our eternal preparation. Eventually, we kind of all have to think about that. There's the idea of what we do in life kind of figures out what we'll do in the next. I have a feeling at some point way, 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 way down the line, y'all are going to be part of the heavenly host singing praises to the Lord. King Solomon determines what we will need to do next by looking at the clock of God's plan, because it is time to raise consciousness to your personal oblivion. What are you and I blind to today? Are we blind to the hurting? Are we blind to the harmless? Are we blind to the homeless? It's time to heal. But I say this from the depths of my heart, you cannot help if you are not healed. It's time to rise up and move, not in avoidance, not in anger, but into action that gives inspiration and motivates people. It changes the world by sharing Jesus, but you got to know Jesus and love Jesus in order to share Jesus. It's time to do something, and all together we can take a lot of something and do a lot of good. So it's time. Ending this, my daughter Kara lived in Chicago for 4 years before she moved back to Arkansas. While she was in Chicago, I've shared with you before, she was in a very interesting church that really got out into the streets to minister to the people. And everyone that kind of got out in the streets knew about this one man. He came from Cabrini Green, one of Chicago's impoverished projects. And they all knew him. You couldn't miss him. I mean, you know, I got on a colorful robe. Well, he had on this bright blue robe, a cassock, if you will. And it was made out of patches of denim jeans. And he wore it faithfully every day as he went out into the streets to minister. And one thing that he said, and he was very proud of, is 53 times he had escaped gunfire. 53 times he had been in situations with active gunfire, and 53 times he came out without being hurt. He talks today to trigger itching assailants into putting away their guns and going home to their families. He sits beside wounded gangsters who hope to die, and he gives them hope to live. He insists he is not special. He says, I'm just an ordinary guy, but I'm trying to do an extraordinary mission to love the people. That's all I've got. I'm no preacher. He says, I just want to love the people. I want to give them hope. I want to give them help. I want to give them my ear. I want to give them my heart. Brother Bill is his name. And he's a hero in the impoverished areas, the dangerous areas of Chicago. One of his fans is a 22-year-old vice lord who says, I really think God sent him here. You see, Brother Bill understands his purpose. And he understands it's time, right now, for him to fulfill his purpose. So I end today this message with this thought. Do you understand, my friends, why you are here? And what is it time for you to do? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment today is My Tribute, found on page 99 in your hymnal. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, we would certainly welcome you to come forward and do so. But as always, our prayer rail is open for you to come and to pray with a friend, with a pewmate, with a family member, or perhaps just between you and God, to come forward and to share your thoughts, your concerns, to ask God what is your purpose and how you might live that purpose right now. So we invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn, My Tribute. God is in this house and his spirit dwells therein. But we take that spirit and we go forward and share the love of God, the communion fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to all whom we meet. Following this blessing, we will again hear from our glorious choir today. And then I know you're going to want a chance to visit with them and speak to them as we go down the hall toward the Robert Moore Room and enjoy our refreshments. And we're so grateful, too, for our ACDC family today. We're just so, so proud of you and love you so much. And I want you to come as well and have some fellowship so we can thank you all for all the work you do throughout the year. Please receive this blessing. God be the glory. God be our Father. God be our maker, our creator, and God be our purpose maker as we go forward and live out the purpose in his Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.